The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
This episode of Kinda Funny Games Cast is brought to you by Blue Apron, the number one fresh ingredient and recipe delivery service in the country. Their mission is to make incredible home cooking accessible to everyone. Blue Apron achieves this by supporting a more sustainable food system, setting the highest standards for ingredients, and building a community of home chefs. Choose from a variety of new recipes each and every week, or let Blue Apron's culinary team surprise you. Recipes are not repeated within a year, so you'll never get bored. Let me tell you about some upcoming meals. We're looking at summer vegetable and egg paninis with Calabrian chili, mayonnaise, and caprese salad. Soy glazed pork and rice cakes with bok choy and marinated green beans. I'm all about that. Skillet vegetable chili with cornmeal and cheddar drop biscuits. And garlic butter shrimp and corn with green bean salad and roasted purple tomatoes. I've never seen a purple tomato, but I'm excited about it. Greg Miller loves Blue Apron, and he is a master chef, as seen on the hit internet cooking show Cooking with Greggy. Blue Apron knows you're busy, so now they're offering 30-minute meals. These meals are made with the same flavor and farm-fresh ingredients you know and love and are ready in 30 minutes or less. Check out this week's menu and get your first three meals free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/gamescast. That's blueapron.com/gamescast. Blue Apron, better way to cook. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the first ever episode 141 of the Kinda Funny Games Cast. Oh my god. Nick just lightsabered my mic. This is going to be the biggest Kinda Funny Games Cast of all time. Why? There's more people at the table than ever. Five. Count them. Five people. This table. And Patreon producer Tom Bach. Thank you. Also in the chat right now, because remember, you can get this show very early by going to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. How early, Nick?
You can be watching it live as we record it, just like Patreon producer Tom Bach is exactly. Right now, and he was talking trash
that
in the pre-show.
That is true.
Talking trash.
Great taste in sports teams. Right?
And you can get it later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames or podcast services.
Around the globe.
Thank you for that, Greg.
You're welcome, Tim.
As always.
I love you.
I'm Tim Geddes.
Happy
joined
to
by you. One of the coolest dudes in video games, Greg Miller.
Hey, it's me. You want a cool shirt?
And rounding out the table, we got Candy Andy Cortez.
Hi.
We got Nick, the producer / seducer Scarpino.
At some point, I'm going to stuff this in Greg's drink.
Here's the thing. If you're an audio listener, he's got a coaster. If you're a video listener, he's got a coaster. And if you're a human being, you know, Nick Scarpino is a cowardly bitch. And there's not a chance in hell he stuffs this.
I like how you started
water.
Laughing at yourself as you got halfway through my last name.
Scarpino.
And right around the table, for the first time on this show, we have Devin. You might know Devin as the future husband of Shonda.
Yes.
Who is going to be on an episode of the Game Over Greggy show eventually.
Yeah. Man, the wheel's locked up hard.
The time's going to be all time.
If you watched live yesterday.
But on that episode of the Game Over Greggy show, Devin proposed.
Yeah.
But Devin was also on an episode of the Game Over Greggy show a year ago.
150.
150.
Yeah, and if you've already seen her on GOG, we don't know how the fuck you did that. That's really weird.
So anyway, thank you, Devin, for joining us again. He is a supporter on Patreon, just like so many of you are, and we appreciate that. What is your last name, though? I didn't ask
Hansen.
You that.
Hansen.
Devin Hansen.
Like Chris Hansen.
Oh.
Yeah, just spelled different. It's all Norwegian-y. Two S's and an E, and I think a number in there somewhere.
Somewhere?
My brain went Jim Hansen, but then I kept thinking To Catch a Predator also. I was like, was Jim Hansen the host?
Jim Henson. Who's Jim?
No, Henson.
But he don't correct him. Just let him go. Just let him go. The court. Bring him right back.
I'm like a bug, right? And just keep running.
So this show is a little bit interesting. As you all know, we start the show off with what games we've been playing recently. And all of us at the table, except for Devin, have been playing South Park, The Fractured Butthole. So we're going to get that out of the way. We're going to do our like review discussion of that game.
Yeah.
And then we'll dismiss these two fine young gentlemen. And then the show will just be me, Greg, and the beautiful Devin over there.
Gotcha.
Kick it off, whoever wants to. South Park, The Fractured Butthole.
I really like this game. I'm really digging it.
How far are you right now?
I don't know how many hours. Maybe like 5 hours into it, 6 hours into it.
Okay.
My what's the
your might?
My might is like a 193.
Gotcha.
If that gives anyone. I'm level 5 as far as how many times I level up. I'm liking it. The one thing I like about this game is it's perfect for me. Right. I don't have to pay too much attention to it. The combat really is not that hard, and you can just kind of really enjoy the world they've created. It's like watching an episode or two or a movie of South Park.
Sure.
And you don't you just kind of go on that journey with them. Right, like you think a little bit, and it's fun, and there's just enough strategy elements there that I have to kind of pay attention. But last night, I found myself hammering a bag of goldfish while
nice,
I was playing,
dude.
And
hell
it was a perfect
yeah.
combo.
Give me some right there.
Did you play the first one?
I did not play The Stick of Truth, no. But I feel like I don't think you really – it doesn't matter. I mean, I think maybe for the first like 30 minutes of the game, you should have probably played The Stick of Truth. I don't think those elements come back though, right?
I don't know. Tim and I were talking about this today on Games Daily, where I somebody wrote in and was like, do I have to play? You don't have to. I just think it adds more context to it. I like the idea that it's the day after. Like, we see the kids transition right. out of that game right. into the new game.
They're not playing.
That
They're
stuff
not playing
does
a little more,
come yeah. into play at the end a bit, but I mean, you don't need to know that much.
See, what I like about that, though, is that this game starts off with them very much in that setting.
Sure.
And I think that that adds the context that you need to know. Because without that, I would be like, oh, man, you should definitely play the other one. But this one, you do get a little bit of that, the elements from it.
Yeah.
So I think it's enough. But yeah, obviously, play the other one to get everything out of this.
My whole thing with it is the fact that I dropped off being a South Park viewer a long time ago. And like every so often, I can't remember the last time I watched South Park or went out of my way to watch it. I like the show. It's just I'm not a TV person.
Right.
And so Stick of Truth, when that dropped, that was really my reindoctrination into the world and introducing me to all those characters, so that when we jump back in here and it's the same characters, how their relationships are playing off each other and all these different things. I like the fact that for me it is just a connected world there. Even granted there's been all these seasons of South Park which get referenced and all these different things, I like the fact that the connective tissue is still there. So for me it is, you know, 1 to 2 kind of thing. It makes sense to get them in line and play them that way. Mm-hmm. Not that I think you need to.
Had you watched any of the Coon episodes?
No. I think I've seen Coon clips here and there.
The Coon was, I think it was like a trilogy.
Yeah. So those are some of my favorite South Park episodes. And so all the references to all of the different heroes and then like Mint Berry Crunch and fucking diabetes, you know, like all that shit is like, I love it. And it's hitting such a great spot for me because like you, I am a Laps fan, but not that long. I haven't watched like maybe the last 2 or 3 seasons or
gotcha.
So. But God, I've just been laughing so goddamn hard this whole time. And I know that did you beat it yet?
No, I didn't beat it. Okay. I'm also about 5-6 hours into it.
I'd say maybe like 7 or 8 hours-ish, but I know Greg beat it.
Yeah.
And I know that some of those jokes eventually do get stale, like while you're in combat and there's the little banter between.
Right. If you're not changing up your team, they're saying the same things.
Right.
To each other.
I did run into a weird issue right now. I don't know if it's spoiler or whatever, but I was fighting Randy Marsh.
Yeah. That's not a spoiler. You expect to fight him, right?
Yeah. And who's probably my favorite character of all time in South
and
Park.
And that bit, by the way, when you get him the second, like the first time when he puts you on that side quest,
yeah,
it's so good.
So I fought him for a second time, and there was no dialogue, there was no banter in between moves.
Oh no, yeah,
it was very weird. Yeah,
because
the first time it was nonstop. He's saying stuff, we're saying stuff, and last night it kind of bummed me out because I was looking forward to more of that. But I did read on a few websites. I think it was maybe Kotaku or Polygon who said that like, yeah, the game's fun, but there are a lot of technical issues.
Oh, really?
And I had never run into the technical issue until that thing, which
interesting.
Is kind of a big glaring thing where I think the way that they try to make the combat more entertaining is with the banter between the characters. And finally experiencing a fight without that was really bad and kind of like, oh, this sucks.
They say something every time you attack, right?
For the most part, yeah. The other characters, like if... Like, I lit Randy Marsh on fire, and it's like the dots sort of damage, or like damage over time. So after each move, when he's going to do a move, he says something, and he'd be like, oh, shit, I'm still on fire. And it's just, and I was laughing so hard. I'm really digging it, like Nick and was mentioning earlier, that it is a game that doesn't require a whole lot of concentration combat-wise, because I don't think it's like...
Well, it's turn-based, too. You have time to think.
Yeah, it just doesn't seem like that...
Not that strategic.
The stakes aren't that high. Yeah. Like, you know, so I just like, whatever.
Towards the end, I thought I was trying to trick, like, you know, we're playing it before anybody else has it, or the embargo's up, I should say. So there's not guides or anything. And there's one trophy in there for playing as a black character on Mastermind difficulty. And at the end, this isn't a spoiler, I don't think, but like throughout it, you know, you're filling out your character stat sheet. And so you fill things in of like what your weakness is and what your race is and that thing. So when I got to the point where you fill that in, you can come back at any time and redo it. So I was like, huh. And so I went back, made the character black, put on the difficulty, and did a few fights that way before I was like, and it wasn't much worse. I was using more items for the first time. Now, granted, this was way late in the game because my idea was if I switch to a black character and switch to the hardest difficulty there and beat the game there, can I pop that
But
trophy?
Doesn't the black-white character, I thought that was just a joke.
So from what I understand, and I could be wrong about this, but I don't think that it actually changes the difficulty.
You're all getting confused. We're all getting confused. So there's two different options. You can make the character black, set the game's difficulty to Mastermind.
Right.
That's the thing, yeah.
It's not that the character is changing
the character
difficulty.
Class has nothing to do with the difficulty, no.
Got it. Right,
the trophy is be black and then have the game on Mastermind difficulty.
Because that was the joke. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, it does change the difficulty of the quest, of the context of what people say to you and things like that.
Interesting.
And,
like,
I was told that. I thought that wasn't the case. Remember, they put out that article last week saying that wasn't the case. People were upset about that.
Like, in the game, there is a quote where he's like, if you wait on that screen for too long, he goes, by the way, this doesn't change the difficulty of the game. Just in real life, it changes your difficulty, which I thought
he goes, it doesn't change the difficulty of combat, just everything else.
Yeah.
And the original rumor was that it was going to give you less money, people would treat you differently, blah, blah, blah. And then when they were pressed on it last week, before launch, I think they told Polygon or Kotaku, and it was like, oh no, it's just a joke. And then people got super offended of like, oh, well, that's just a dumb joke. Why not make it actually difficult? Why not actually make it feel walk on my own my shoes kind of thing?
Let us know in the comments, because I've seen it both ways. I know what you're talking about, but I've seen people that have been playing the game saying that it does affect things.
Last thing
But it might not be actual difficulty things. It just changes things.
Sure.
Like dialogue and interactions.
Yeah.
And that's the biggest thing is like, that stuff's referenced regardless of who you are, right? Like, this time around, I made my character look like Jen. So I said everything I answered, I was a female. I was a cis female. And so, like, that's part of the joke, right, I think? And the fact that, like, when you come out of the... Has everybody gotten here yet? Where you come out of the school after making that choice or whatever, and those guys roll up, and they're like, what are this? What, look at this cis female coming in there. Like, so, like, if you were playing it with none of that context, it would be, look at this black...
Whatever it is.
Yeah, transgender person. Like, they would act like they're playing into that when they planned it no matter what.
Yeah.
Whereas even later on in the game, this is not a spoiler, but, like, in the playground, there's the three bathrooms. There's male, female, cis.
Yeah.
I think it was cis for me. I assume it's maybe it is for everybody.
Well, that's what's cool about the game is there's so many different options and so many things that I think people are going to miss out on because the dialogue trees change based on all of these little choices that you make, and it's super awesome. Like, even little things like Kotaku wrote an article about this today, but you were telling me about it, where there's things you need to do, like there's a passcode that you need to figure
Carmen's house,
But it's like, if you go about doing it the wrong way, like, you'll see jokes that you would have never seen otherwise.
Right. Yeah.
It's super awesome.
That is one of my critiques of the game, though, is that it does feel like because the combat is a little limited that they threw a bunch of other systems into it that kind of to flesh it out a little bit more and to make there feel like there's more depth. And I feel like I kind of just don't care about those.
Like what?
Like, there's the DNA, there's the different way you level up.
Sure.
There's all those different ways of crafting those different things, and I'm just like, I don't know I just don't feel like all that stuff, like, adds to the combat. I don't feel it.
Yeah.
So I just kind of like, oh, God, I got to go add. Okay, I got to
My
might. I don't know the difference between might, the DNA, like, all the, like, the leveling and all that stuff. I just don't.
The thing is, I don't think you need to.
Yeah,
And that's the whole point is I think your overall might's all that matters because it's your level for you being able to take on a mission. It'll tell you if you're out of your depth or whatever. So, like, I assigned my DNA once and never went back and fucked around with it. And then all the trinkets and artifacts and shit, it was just a stat-based thing. I never looked at what they did. No, they more might, put them on there. If not, fuck it, who cares?
It's like power level Destiny.
Exactly. 100%. Yeah, I don't care what it's doing as long as it's getting me where it is.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because there is so many, like, systems. There's so many just things to collect and, like, little, like, mini-game style things to do.
Yeah.
Like, collecting the cats or the toilets.
The yaoi.
Putting up
sides. The yaoi.
This is the first game I've ever played where they send you on side quest. Like, I'm actually more... Like, I laugh every single time I find one of those freaking yaoi pictures. And I'm like, I just want to go look for these in the world because I just want to see what the next one is.
Yeah. So one of the overarching narratives of the game, of course, is tweaking Craig's relationship. And I missed this episode.
Are it's they, an episode. So it's a reference.
Are they
yeah.
gay for each other? Are they? I'm sorry. Are they gay and in love with each other, or is it just that they're boys who really like each other?
No, I think I don't remember. I'm sure people will correct us, but I remember the references to it.
When I started collecting the posters, I was like, "Oh, this is clearly based on an episode of South Park. I don't remember, but I'm assuming they're not gay."
No,
but
they're
then
not.
As you continue on that quest, I was like. Are they? Like, and I don't care, but it's like I was as a lapsed fan who hadn't seen any of that content, I was like, huh.
I think that might be just the joke. Is that like when they set that up, they're obviously like, we don't know what it is, but they're weird and confusing to us, right? And like, I don't know.
No, I think there was an episode where they were trying to say that these two boys were gay.
Yeah.
Tweaking Craig. And then I don't know how these drawings started happening in the world.
Just so
but it's just
up.
They're so fucking hilarious.
Like some of them
like
love, some
grabbing
them
from a hand in the pants and shit. So like it's so funny, man.
But I mean those things I liked. I like the mechanics of when you're walking around the world and you get the added sort of like skills so that you can like fly around, you can like
oh,
you
sure.
can throw things.
Your power up things.
Yeah,
your
the
buddy
power
skills.
Things, I think those are pretty cool. They're a little confusing and they don't set that up that much of like when you get them. Like I didn't realize I had one of them for the longest time.
Oh,
the
yeah.
pop one, I just picked that up. It's like, hey, you can do this. Like, oh, okay, right.
Oh, the firecracker thing?
Yeah. Actually, maybe it wasn't the firecracker. It was the
throw your fart?
Yes. That time, was when I was like, I didn't realize that rewind. Was actually something that stopped. Like, if you fart on people, it'll stop the combat. Mm. I don't know if you know that or not. You can run away.
Well, I throw the spark or the whatever firecrackers in their face and then attack that way.
Okay.
Because that gives you combat
one
advantage.
Starts with the combat advantage is either burn or gross out. If you fart,
got
they get
you.
Grossed out. If you
got
throw
you.
The
okay.
thing, they burn.
I thought there was a. I thought if you hit triangle, it would stun them and you could run away, so you don't actually have
I mean,
to
you,
fight.
You could do that.
You
as
can
well.
Do that too. Yeah, yeah. yeah.
But that's just up to you. Yeah, I don't know. Like for me, I
says Tim, like,
you fucking coward.
Why would you not want to fight? You fucking coward.
Why would you not want to fight to get the experience?
Oh, like, I don't know. Because sometimes I'm looking for a freaking yaoi or whatever. I'm on a yaoi hunt.
So. I mean, well, that's the thing is like this game. It allows you to just play whatever way you want. I feel like it does a good job of guiding you to the main quests.
Yeah.
But also giving you room to explore and collect things. And there is so many different things to collect that it does get a little bit addicting.
Yeah.
My biggest problem with the game is that it's just doing a lot of things.
Yeah.
And I'm like, so many times I kind of feel like, oh, man, like I haven't watched the last four seasons of South Park. Should I just do that instead of playing this? Because it isn't challenging and it isn't that much
of
a game.
But see, I feel
game.
Like for me, and maybe it's just a different level of gamers that we are, but like I feel like for me, they do a really good job of creating this fun world that I just want to keep going in it. Right?
Explore.
Like I think, like I love all of the pull the curtain back. This is not really lava, it's Lego blocks.
Yeah.
And like how Cartman's mom at the very beginning is like, sorry, officer, yeah, someone's put lava on my steps. And like just doing that in the cars, like, you know, car. Move.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
it kind of reminds you, hey, you are in like a kid's imagination. Yeah, yeah. I think there's levels to it that has kept me going for at least 6 hours.
I mean, that was my thing from it too. I understand what you're saying. Because there was definitely a moment when I was playing it where I was like, man, this is not that far off of Life is Strange or a walking sim
Absolutely.
Like that, right? Where I'm just walking around to get the story and engage in it and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, but I'm okay with that. What took me to it was the fact of going through and marveling at, all right, I mean, I'm a huge superhero dork, so like being able to put on the costumes, build it, color code it the way I want it, great. The unlocking new better ones like the Wonder Woman one, the Supergirl one. Then getting into, all right, cool, lava's here, and this is how they've constructed this, and this is what that is, and how they see the fight happening. It was like, man, this is like, I wish, in a way, without all the fucked up South Park parts of it, that like I had this childhood. I had this group of friends that were so into it that we were going to role play
the whole town knew
time.
About it. You're just LARPing constantly.
And so that was
life.
The thing of like, that was enough to keep me engaged or keep me there because I felt like my game clock was 18 hours at the end, which is like give or take a little bit, right? Because I'm sure I let it sit for a while and I'm like 17, whatever. And it was like, that was the hook to it. And the other in the hook to it is, what is that it's a really funny game. It's a really fleshed out world. I don't think it's as funny as Stick of Truth. I think Stick of Truth was funnier.
Really?
But I also think I'm grading on a curve, which isn't fair.
Yeah.
Where I think Stick of Truth, if you remember, we were all like, let's see how this game's going to fucking come together. And then I remember going to that preview event with McCaffrey and leaving and being like, that was a lot of fun, right? I really only, and then sitting down and playing it and constantly texting him and Brian Altano and being like, this game is laugh out loud hilarious. I've never played a game like, and it's good. And like, it had technical, Stick of Truth chugged, I remember.
PS3
it had so many problems.
Was one of the worst.
And it was that, all right, cool. Jumping into this one, I think I knew what to expect. Mm. And so that might have taken it away to an extent. I felt like it was a slower burn. I felt like when I got to the end, because like, I'm playing through and it's like, you know, Stick of Truth. I'm fighting the little gnomes while my parents fuck above me. I'm fighting aborted fetuses. And it was like, man, all right, like, we're playing this game. And it's like, all right, cool, cool, cool. And then there was one moment that I won't ruin for anybody, but it's in the cell phone shop where you have a battle. And I couldn't continue the battle. Like, I was in hysterics. And Jen was playing Stardew next to me and was in hysterics. Like, it was the most outrageous, this is so fucking funny. And then from there is really where I felt like a couple more battles that came along and really cranked it up. Like, there was another, like, boss battle towards the end where Jen's like, how are they going to do this and not get sued? And I was like, I don't know. Maybe parody.
That's South Park. But, man, this shit is funny as fuck. Yeah. Like, I think this game is really funny. And the best thing about it is how authentically South Park it is. And for me saying, like, oh, I feel like I'd rather just watch South Park. It's like, I feel like this is beyond just a good episode of South Park. Like, this feels like a good season of South Park condensed into an experience. So, like, I'm complaining just to complain, I guess. My problem with it, like, the reason I'm critical is the gameplay. I enjoy the battle system in this better than Stick of Truth.
Yeah.
Just wish it went deeper. I just wish there was more, because it is obviously inspired by games like Fire Emblem and Disgaea and things like that. And I understand I'm not going to get that depth out of this. I just feel like it could go a little bit deeper. Now, having said that, something I really like about the grid system they use is because it's such a small playing field and it's never like this large ass multi-screen thing you're going through, the way that the characters attacks, where it shows you what each attack does, like, you can see the red squares or whatever, and most of them are either straight in front of you or one straight line around you.
Right.
That was cool. And again, I'm only 6 hours in, so I'm not.
Yeah, like, you get at some point there are some that cross.
There's the crosswinds and stuff, and I'm like, oh, this is really awesome. But I just don't see the game ever getting to a point that actually requires you to
master
think
that system.
Well, have you thought of, like, upgrading? Have you upped the difficulty? If that's the complaint,
I did. So I ended up upping to that, and it doesn't affect it that much.
Yeah.
And if anything, that it just makes it like there's just more to do instead of it being like more of a challenge in terms of having to be in the right place at the right time. And it just sucks because I just want more of a game out of it, because it does feel like a walking simulator a lot of the time.
And that was the thing, Jen.
A great walking simulator, though.
Jen watching it for the most part is like, this could be a mobile game outside of like this, but like the way it's doing, I'm like, yeah, 100%. And that's like an insult to it.
Honestly, I feel like it would be even better, because one of the things I like doing the least is using the detective mode, or the hell it's called, and like to throw the poppers and all that stuff. Oh. It's like, touchscreen would be awesome for that.
Sure.
Didn't they make a mobile game?
Yeah, they
have. They did.
But Battery Destroyer or some shit like that.
I never played it. I didn't know how similar it was to the actual game.
Yeah,
or I don't if know either. At all.
No, it's an interesting one. What kept the combat fresh for me was the ability of, first off, unlocking new party members and putting them in there to find a squad you liked, and then also the way they use the subclasses, where you pick a character profile of your speedster or whatever in the beginning, but then after, like, what, day two, or leading into day two, you get another one, by the end, spoilers, you have them all unlocked. So you really get to go through and start cherry picking moves. Especially, it's really helpful, you know, going into that second class where you're like, all right, I've done a handful of battles, I know what I've wanted. Like, fuck, why can't I shoot?
I wish I could heal.
Are you still limited to three moves?
Yeah, three moves in an ultimate. Yeah, okay. But you can start, like, now you're playing on, like, cards, right? Where you're picking and choosing what your deck looks like.
The ultimates are amazing. The summons are amazing.
Dude, the first one you get, the macaroni pie, Torah, or macaroni thing, where it's like Moses, but it goes into, like, the Tron. Fucking awesome.
Meanwhile, at the Super Friends base,
I didn't even see that.
You haven't seen that one yet?
No.
You get a is it a Torah or is it the Star of David?
It's called the Torah thing. I mean,
you get
I'm
a Star of David macaroni picture.
Star of David macaroni picture, and when you summon it, it heals everyone in the group. But it goes to like a cutscene where it's like this Tron esque like figure, and he's like, I'll say what
you do. You remember when they introduced that Moses, the like, wasn't he like Zordon?
I did get there. I did get there. I really like Super Craig's.
Everything? Super Craig's amazing. This
Super
game.
Craig's everything.
I just love his ultimate of like the little hamster, like the live action God. Hamster.
Oh, yeah.
So funny. So
yeah, like, but in general, Super Craig, I think, is one of the standout characters for me. And just like, I love he's the one of the group that doesn't take it seriously. So everybody shits on him during battle of like, oh man, if you could put half the effort in, he's like, shut the fuck up or whatever. And he's like talking to Kyle and he's like, oh man, I never thought kites were cool to him. I think kites were cool. And he goes, thanks, give me a second chance. Like, who said I said that you're cool?
how did you guys feel about the toilet mini games?
I'm used to them. I'm expecting them.
Yeah, my thing with it is like, it's another example of like, I think it's funny, and whenever I see one, I do it. But it's just like,
it's a burden for me. Those things are like a chore.
Not
for
good.
Me.
Is it rhythm the same one from the first game?
No, it's different. It's different now. It plays out more it's like a DDR game. Thing. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
And it's just, it's interesting because like I would be all about that, but they're never really that challenging. And when they are challenging, it's because
they're using so many
different fingers
buttons.
In weird ass places where it's like hit R2 triangle and the analog sticks. And it's like, what the fuck? That's really weird. But I mean, again, it's just like there's so much in this game that is worth doing, and it's fun collecting the shit.
Yeah.
But it's like, I this isn't going to be in my top 10 of the year. Like that's where I'm coming down on it. Where it's like it's a great game, but I think there's been so many good games this year that this is just one that I'm like, you don't necessarily need to get it right now. Like when it is time when there's a drought, go through and play it. But like I'm not like rush out and buy it. Do you? Where does it come out with you guys?
I mean, I love it. I think it's I had fun with it and I had a great time with it. I'm similar to you. I mean, I won't say it's not my top 10. I haven't stopped to think that down. It definitely wouldn't be high on my top 10. And I think when Stick of Truth hit, it was holy shit. This is different. You need to play this. And this one is very much. This is another South Park game, which is great. It's more what I want. But you're right. You're on the money in terms of like, all right, cool. I'm going through all these different things to get there. Like it's at the end, and I'm not gonna spoil anything for the end. But at the end, like when they are really like, all right, cool. Now use every one of your powers, like the fart and fly and all that stuff. Like when I'm out collecting, that was fine. But then at the end, like they kind of put it all together. It's like, all right, like can we go a little bit faster? Is there a way to automate this? You know, I know how to do this. Whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
As someone who I don't love turn-based games at all, like. I really the only one I ever cared for was Pokemon growing up, and like I tried Final Fantasies, it just was not for me. And I really love this game. I don't know where it'll fall in top 10, just because Wolfenstein 2 and Mario and Assassin's Creed, we got to wait for all those fucking games. But yeah, I'd put that out on Twitter, and some guy replied to me. He's like, that's such a great endorsement. He's like, because this is a game I would not have played because it's turn based, and knowing that somebody else really enjoys it, even though it's turn-based, is like a good sign.
I think that's the powerful part of the game. That's actually what you think is one of its weaknesses, is the fact that the combat, the turn-based combat, you can wrap your head around. And I think we jump in, and after a while, you're like, oh, okay, I got this, whatever. Like, but there's also that part of, I didn't lose any battles on normal. Like, I was able to get through that, which kind of sounds shitty, I'm sure, to some people, but to me, who just wants the story and wants to go through, I was like, all right, this is fun. I'm glad, because like some of the battles at the end get kind of long and there's multiple waves, and it was like, oh fuck, I better start using my items correctly, and like, shit, let's revive him but wait on him and not do her, and like it, there was a bit to it, but it was never like, fuck, that's my fifth time failing and I'm that close and down, and I don't want that in this kind of game. I'm not looking for that in South Park.
I think if the system were any, like, you're looking for a deeper system turn-based wise, if it were any deeper, I don't think I would like it.
Sure. Yeah. I guess, like it either. It's like RPG light.
But my thing is from South Park and from the style of game this is, I would just rather a bit more challenging, not like super hardcore, but a bit more challenging, and then the entire package being a bit like just condensed, where it's like every battle matters instead of
there just being, there's a, lot
just
of
being a lot of battles. At the and end, that's the only reason I have a problem with it, is like, how many times do I need to beat up the sixth graders? Right. Like, that's funny the first time.
I hear you on that. No, because that was the same thing at the end when like Raisins, the girls would come after me, like, I'm not going to do this right now and just keep going. Like, I'm not in the mood to fight you right now.
Right.
And like, you think like it's long in the tooth making you do stuff. Wait till you get to the end of this game, because this is one of the best examples recently of like, oh fuck, I'm about to beat it. Oh wow, there's more. Okay, well here we go. All right, well now I'm almost okay. Fuck, and like, well, I'm gonna beat it. Still, and like we're genuinely looking at me like one in the morning. And she's like, is this game going to end? Like, you started at 10:30 thinking you were about to beat it. I'm like, I think I'm almost there. Hold on.
Yeah.
Give me a game where the encounters are like, you get into a counter and it's real time combat. Like I would love to see a South Park game that's like a beat 'em up brawler, like how they did Scott Pilgrim.
No,
like, I love that.
Those
shit.
Games are so dated, and you wouldn't get the humor. There wouldn't be the whole turn based works so great.
It allows for the dialogue.
They can have those dialogue. Play that Nintendo 64.
Yeah,
South Park game,
the first person shooter. Yeah, that was fun.
Oh man,
I'm enjoying it though. Yeah, I can't wait to play more. I didn't expect that, but I
Nick, are you gonna stick around anymore?
Yeah, I'm definitely gonna play more. I don't know if I'll beat it. I'll be honest with you. Like, I'm all, my attention span for it's already starting to wane, but I want to play. I'm good for at least 2-3 more hours of it, just to see if it keeps going with me.
Yeah, 18 hours, that's kind of scary.
18 hours scares me a little bit.
I thought it was like a 12 hour.
That's what I said earlier, right? That sounds high, but I'm pretty sure from before.
I'm not getting 18 hours.
You told me 15 before you beat it.
I think I was at 15. Okay, yeah, you asked where I was, right?
As I was about to start the game, I was hoping I wasn't going to like it. And I was hoping it was going to be bad so I could just dig more into Shadow of War. And I ended up loving it. So it's like, fuck, there's two games that I love.
It is funny as hell.
Right,
and the presentation is on another level. The fact that this is a video game is mind-blowing because it looks like South Park.
Yeah.
So nuts.
Yeah, it runs really well. I hadn't heard about the technical problems. I had a flawless run, and I thought it ran really well, and it was nice after, you know, Stick of Truth having so many problems on PS3 that loads to go super fast. Transition. It would be that thing of like, I'm going to go over there, and load screen pops up, and I try to get my phone out, and I wouldn't even be able to get it out in time. I'm like, fuck, that's good.
I think Jason Schreier is the one who wrote that.
Well, he's a fucking lying piece of shit, apparently.
No, he's not.
Someone had to say it.
I'm glad it was you.
Any closing thoughts on South Park?
I think it's fun. I think to Andy's point, like if you're not thinking about playing it and you're looking for something a little bit more casual and fun and just want to laugh a little bit, definitely give it a shot.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to. I'm gonna go back. It's interesting because we had done the story on Games Daily about them announcing the season pass, and somebody asked like, "Oh, is this what you guys would have wanted out of Stick of Truth?" And I was like, "I don't remember finishing Stick of Truth and wanting more." Whereas this one, I'm like actually jonesing to get home tonight and play them. You know, there's missions I still have left. Mm-hmm. There's trophies for me to knock out. I don't know if I'll go back and play it again because I need to go back now and play as Black character on Mastermind difficulty to get that trophy. And I'm like,
do the whole thing.
Yeah, and I'm like, you can't skip like cutscenes and stuff. I was trying. Maybe it'll know now or something. If I do a second playthrough, it'll let me. But before it couldn't, and I was like, I don't know if I have that in me again because it's too much to play.
Nick and Andy, thank you guys for joining us.
Thanks guys.
You can go back to whatever it is that you're doing.
Yeah, what do you do around here? Oh, looks at Gundams. I forget.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Pretty sick, sweet Gundams, though.
Got some sick Gundams, man.
Devin, what have you been playing?
Well, we talked about this yesterday. We just bought a house. And she started her business and everything. And so, since we're going through this little transition, I bought Destiny 2, because I figured that would be something that I could play the longest.
You're like, all right, I'm spending a lot of money. I only want to spend $60 more.
Yeah.
South Park and all other stuff, they'll come later. Yeah. What's the one game I can spend a lot of time with?
Yeah, Destiny 2. So I did, but I already got to 305, so.
Didn't take you as long as you thought, huh? Didn't keep you around as much as you thought it would.
But I'm still, I still do the weekly challenges.
Yeah, I was
going to
say, you're coming back
stuff.
For that and Iron Banner and all that stuff. Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, I'll still get plenty of time out of it.
Okay.
That's what I've mostly been doing.
What is the next game on the horizon then? I know you put your money in Destiny. What are you waiting for next then?
I mean, there's so much. October 27th, man.
Yeah, I know. So are you getting them all?
Well, I might get Shadow of War next because I've already pre-ordered my 1X. And so when that comes in, I'll probably
You want that showcase title.
I do. I do. I want something to show it off. And I want to get it because if you played, what was the first one? Shadow of Mordor?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you played it on whatever system and you get the sequel, same system, your nemesis transfers from the first game.
Gotcha.
Or one of them or multiple, I don't know. So I want that experience to see how that goes.
Yeah.
I love the nemesis system. It was awesome.
That's cool.
And I am surprised not as many games have done anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you think more people would rip that off, right? Because it was such a thing that people really dug.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Destiny 2 with you, Greg. Are you still going back at all? Or
plan is still to platinum it. It's just it's the normal thing that always happens. Just been on the road, and then now that I'm back, I'm playing other things, and South Park got here, and I wanted to focus all my time on that, and then Super Mario's on the horizon. So it's just that issue of I'm not 305. I can actually open my Destiny app and tell you. I want to say 292 or something like that.
Have you been doing multiple characters, though?
Yeah, that's not like hardcore enough to have that really be something I can hang my hat on and make an excuse about.
Because this is when I will probably get the platinum on because I did the raid.
Yeah,
and I can do two more run throughs with the other two characters, but then all I need is I think I need a prestige Nightfall trophy, and that'd be it.
Oh really? That's all you need now?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, if I do a run through with the other two characters to get the
For me, it's that. So I have I'm 291 right now on my main hunter, 191 on my Titan. That doesn't really matter because all I need the Titan's got. I just have to do more public events to pop the ability to go get the final third subclass or whatever.
Yeah.
And once I do that, I pop that trophy, bail on him forever, make a warlock, do the same thing.
Yeah, that's what.
And
I'm
then
do.
It would be. The prestige, I'd do a Nightfall, not the raid. And then do trials and go meet that one guy. Win a trials match.
I do need to do a trials.
Which everybody talks about how tough it is. But Sean Pitt swears to me that he can just get me on his team in one weekend, hopefully this weekend, beat one fucking round and be done with it.
I actually forgot about the trials one, yeah. So it may be a little harder than I thought.
Well, it sounds like if you just have a good team, you know what I mean, they can pull you through and do it and get it done with. But yeah, I still want to platinum it. I still think that's obtainable. I still think that will happen.
Yeah. What else have you been playing?
Right before this, I tried to do Friday the 13th. Friday the 13th, if you haven't heard, is game of the year, except it's broken all the fucking time. It drives me crazy. So, no, you know, I love Friday the 13th, and last weekend was Friday the 13th. They had the double XP weekend. We're like, we're going to fucking stream it all day. Me, Cool Greg, and Joey, we'll do it all afternoon. I'm going to rake in this double XP. Nom, 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 nom. Eat it up. Have it rain all over me. And sure enough, we start the stream, and the fucking servers are garbage, and you can't make it happen. So we kept... We'd do a match and then it would crash or whatever, and we just eventually gave up. But that night, of course, I went home and played more with kids and got a group together and got the trophy I needed for doing playing as every different counselor and then playing as every different Jason, which I need the double XP to help me bump up faster to the level.
You gonna get that 1300 kills or whatever it
is? You know what I mean? Like, Joey asked me when I was on Saturday, she was gonna come over, and her and Jen played Stardew, and I played streamed Friday the 13th. And when I was starting to rattle off why I was doing it, she's like, are you trying to get the platinum in Friday the 13th? Because if you're unaware and you've missed me bitch about it before, horrible fucking trophies.
Fucking disaster.
Terrible fucking trophies. And where it is, yeah, get 13 kills or whatever the fuck it is. Weird shit like that, where it's just like, that's going to take forever. However, it is the thing of, like, it's been a long time since I've never cared about a competitive multiplayer game like I care about this game. And it is that thing of, what I was about to lead into is the fact that I just tried to play it. We had 20 minutes before, and I was like, let's get a fucking match together. So I hit up kids on Twitter, had my 7 people all set to go. Cool Greg was ready to play, and we jumped in, invited everybody. Almost everybody got in the lobby. Last guy tried to connect, crashed, blue screen. Do it all again, crashed, blue screen. Do it again. And I'm like, I kept thinking, well, this guy tried to invite somebody on his own. Maybe that's what did it. Don't invite anybody. Invite everybody there. Then it was, all right, this is the guy I saw trying to join when it crashed. Don't invite him. It all crashed over and over and over again. I'm like, fuck that, and jumped into Fortnite, which I'll get to in a second. But to the thing where it was, Joey's like, are you really trying to platinum this? And I'm not actively like, yeah, I'm going to platinum it. But there is this thing in me of like, if we can just stop the fucking random ass crashes for no fucking reason because the servers are garbage and the code sucks, I'm going to keep playing this. This will be a game that it is going to be like, hey, let's do, you know, how people treat Battle Royale on Fortnite. Like, hey.
It's so we were at lunch. It was me, Joey, and Andy. Yeah. And we were talking about, like, somehow Friday the 13th came up. And we just don't get it. We just don't get how you are so obsessed with this game and play this game in the way people play PUBG or Mario Kart or Smash Brothers.
It's the exact... I mean, how do you not get it? It's the exact same thing.
It just seems like such a weird, weird game that's broken as fuck. And it's just like, all those other games work.
I mean, when it does work, though, it works so good.
Yeah. I don't believe Joey didn't believe it. Joey loves that game, too.
Well, she was part of the conversation.
Okay.
Well, it's just like I look at them, and it just seems like such a game that I understand that you're a big fan of.
Yeah.
And that you're like, hey, it's something I like. But it's just to think that you're going to keep going back to it for so long to the point that you might get 13 kills.
Yeah.
That sounds crazy to me.
The dangerous element is when I start popping the other ones. When I start hitting like the other milestones, you know what I mean, of whatever they are, and I don't have them in front of me, but like either 100 or 500 or whatever. Yeah. When you hit one of those, it's going to be like, well, now I'm close.
It's going to be in your mind.
And like, that's the thing where it's going to be like, what if we just did an extra live stream or whatever for 2 hours? And I was like, all right, everybody, we're not really playing the game. Just run up to me. Let me kill each one of you, and we'll do this over and over and farm it that way. And like, I'm not to that point. I don't think I will. I've heard other people bitch that trophies are broken, but people do have the platinum now.
They have the Friday 13th platinum?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you cheese it, it's not that. I mean, that's the problem, is it's such a shitty trophy list. You're going to cheese it to get it. Like, there's no one's actively just played that happen. No one's... The killing Jason is so fucking stupid and complicated that it's like, all right, clearly you probably have people doing that with you. And I know people have popped it in the wild on their own or whatever. But no, it sucks so much that the first game I'm really into that's like multiplayer like this and is like, hey, I got 20 minutes, let's play, is so... I don't know why this has got to be so fucked every time I want to use it, right? Because it's so demoralizing of like... Man, I'm not making it. In the beginning, it was, they were a small developer. They are a small developer. They didn't know what they were getting into. I understand launch weekend woes and all this shit. And then double XP the first time, everything went to shit. All right, they're trying. They're Gun and Illphonic are still doing what I always want developers to do. Over communicating. Here's our roadmap. Sorry, this was broken. Here's your reward. But I don't understand how it keeps getting fucked up like this.
Well, when they started, they weren't even Friday the 13th. They were like camp.
Whatever they were going to call
it. Whatever it was. Yeah. And then they got the license. And that's a lot of pressure to be
sure,
put
but
on
I mean, now, like, you would hope, and we don't know developers, and I've reached out and invited them on the Gamescast, of course, as a fan, but then also to ask questions like this of just like, I don't understand how the checks have come in. You know how much you sold. How has that not been poured back into servers? Similar to Rocket League. Rocket League melted, right, when it first launched on PS Plus, and it was this giant phenomenon. And Psyonix did the right thing then, like Gunn did, of like, we're talking to you, we're telling you what's happening, blah, blah, blah. But then it's the counterbalance that, well, Psyonix seemed to have poured that all back in to make Rocket League rock solid and have not issues every weekend. There's a big thing happening with it, whereas with Friday, it keeps happening. And so it is that thing for me of like, fuck, I really should stop playing this. I really should find something else. I should come back in months when it's fixed, if I care at all.
But, if it ever gets fixed.
But the problem is that I'm still hooked on it, and I want to play it. And it's just that desire of like, well, today I was like, all right, whatever. Let's finally try Fortnite. And jumped into Fortnite and got two matches in before Battle we started this show. Yeah, Fortnite Battle Royale. Yeah, it's not Fortnite proper. And you got in there, and it's like, this is fun. Like, I don't know. I'm anxious to play more. I'm not, you know, chomping at the bit to go more, or champing at the bit, depending on what you're
from. I've been very interested to see how many people on my Twitter feed are playing Fortnite Battle Royale.
Yeah.
Like, when it was first announced, I was just like...
Well, I think the news blew it up that the...
They were epic, Blue Hole was mad.
That
and
they
put
were
up
upset about it, but that gave them so much attention.
I'm talking about like industry people are in there that are playing, and like I keep seeing people Twitch streaming it. And I'm like, whoa! It had more of a hook than I thought it would for people that like, what are they tired of PUBG or what is it?
I mean, with all due respect, I mean, isn't it just the fact that I would think, and you tell me, most of our people I follow in the industry, and most industry people are console players.
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing, right? Like, it's just easier to do that. Like, that's why I'm playing it. And even playing it today, where I got my two matches in, and it's like, first off, is what everybody said about it. And again, I'm two matches in, so I haven't even built anything. You know what I mean? Like, I brought up the wall thing, and I was like, I'm not staying here. I'm trying to move to the center of the circle. Fuck it. It's way more inviting than PUBG is. Of like, now, granted, this is my perspective as Greg Miller, console gamer, console fanboy, fuck PC gaming. it's just more inviting of like, I know I'm in, it's third person, I know how to play this, I know what to do, and then I'm running into houses and they're loaded with ammo and guns, and I'm like picking up different guns and leaving guns behind. Like, I'm getting armed to the tooth right away, whereas PUBG was like, I got four fucking bullets and a handgun and a pot I'm wearing as a helmet. Whereas this is like, no, you're totally ready to go, and like seeing people and like shooting at them and getting, I'm in it right away, whereas PUBG...
That's so funny, because to me, like, looking at Fortnite, and I love that Fortnite's the kind of first one to do it since, because Fortnite's built on that idea of build your base, build the blockade, do all that.
Yeah, yeah.
And that, to me, is the complicated element of it that I'm happy PUBG doesn't have.
Yeah.
Because PUBG, you're in it.
Sure.
Go.
Well, that, from what I understand, talking to Andrew and a few other people who play Fortnite, Battle Royale and stuff, is the building's really just about getting you to an elevated position and stuff. It's not, you know, you're not building the way you build in Fortnite vanilla, where you're like building up a base to defend it. Like, you're trying to get to the center of the circle, and then I guess you worry about it. But I just got killed at being 21 right out of 100. So it's like, I haven't gotten to end game Fortnite Battle Royale to really see what that's about. But it is that thing where like, I'm anxious to get back in there and do it again. And it is exactly what I wanted out of the Friday 13th four fails of like, hey, we have 10, 15, 20 minutes to kill here. Well, I'm going to jump in and do this real quick and see what it's all about. But it's the similar thing of like, and this is terrible, but it's what I talk about, right? Of like, there's no trophies in it. And that's a issue for me, right? And it's early access. It's not a full-fledged game. I get that. And I don't mean to sound like a trophy whore, even though I clearly am one. But like, if I'm putting 20 minutes into something, I'd like it to matter, if that makes sense. Like, I'd like to be building some kind of stat or something, whereas like Friday 13th, at least I'm jumping through a window, I'm getting closer to this. Like, there's the mini rewards, right? Which I know sounds so stupid, and people always talk about, I don't get trophies, the gameplay is the reward, yada, yada. And I get all that, and I agree with that. But the reward in PUBG / Fortnite, right, is the chicken dinner. It's becoming one or getting close. I'm like, oh, fuck, I can do better. Which I get out of Fortnite, and I'm going to keep playing it, you know, for a little bit there. Whereas with Friday the 13th or anything else, Friday the 13th, I'm filling in my XP number overall, which is, you know, I still have to, you know, work for that new Jason who's 41 or 44, level 44, and I'm 32 right now. It's the fact that if I want to say, fuck it, I died early, but I did jump through a window, so I know I'm doing that, or I trapped him in a trap, so I'm chipping away at that trophy. Like, it's those little, in a game that is a game, games as a service, I like the smaller carrots at the end of the stick that keep me going to the next one of the larger
goal. Role-playing elements within the game of leveling things up.
Yeah.
Even if it's not properly leveling up, it's getting this many out of that many
things. Badges, doing all those
different
things.
Still feels like you're doing something.
Is there something in the game like that?
Which game? Fortnite?
Yeah.
Hard for me to say. I guess
you did just start it.
I just did it, and I was like, I was trying on the screen. I'm like, Matt, trying to figure out what button to customize my character or my look. Couldn't figure that out. Jumped in. The character that I was, it was just a normal army looking white dude. But both the times I dropped out of the battle bus, like I was a different character. So I don't understand how that is, if that's just random every time, which I'm fine with. I was just like, oh, that's not what I was expecting. But it's fun. It's colorful. It runs well. I had fun with Fortnite. I want to keep playing Fortnite. But yeah, it's this weird thing with these games and services of like, it's just, Fortnite I like, and Friday the 13th I like, that there's like, this has an ending. Whereas like, I'm like, oh man, I on the PS4 at work, I have Marvel Heroes downloaded too. Mm-hmm. Where I'm like, oh man, maybe I'll chip away at that and do some stuff there. But it's like, well, that game just goes on. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I don't want to go on. I want it to be, hey, this is a 20-minute match, tops.
You're good.
You know what I mean? And I'll be done or be out of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
This is why, like, I'm pretty stoked about PUBG in general on Xbox for the same reasons.
Because, yeah, it's just every match is a different thing, and you're going to love that experience.
Yeah.
You know, and even if you get first or even if you die at 90, it's like that is a story in itself, right?
And it's a similar thing of, like, you know, I was talking to a friend in New York when we were out there, and I was like, man, I really got to try GTA Online. But GTA Online is the same way, I feel, of just being like, I'm going to download it and get in it, and it's just going to be 20 minutes of fiddling with my character and never doing anything.
I say we commit to GTA Online.
I haven't played it in so long.
Okay.
Like, we should. For party mode alone, I feel like we should really, like, figure that shit out and understand it. Because it seems like there's so much going on there and so much fun there.
Like, every few weeks, every month, I see more stuff added to it. And I haven't played it in so long, I don't even know how it works. Because I tried it when it first launched. And if you remember, when it first launched, it was garbage. It was awful.
That's why I never played
it. You couldn't even get into it for, like, a month.
Yeah.
And so once it kind of finally settled out, I played it a little bit. And I kind of got the idea of what it was, but it's completely different now.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, you look at what they've done with that, and they clearly looked at their community and how are they using this tool and what are the different groups, and all right, we'll reward them all with that. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I'm down. I'm totally down.
All right.
Do you have it?
I do not. I do not. I have it on PS3.
I'll draft it.
The issue. So, I haven't played too much because South Park has been what I played the most of.
And you're a coward.
I did beat Cuphead, finally. Which I'm very, very, very proud of. No one has made me a trophy yet. I'm a little upset about that because I need it. Cuphead, just as fantastic as I've been saying it was. I loved the final boss. I will say the second to last boss is my least favorite thing about
that
game.
Is that the Dice
Man?
Dice Man.
Oh, man. It's infuriating. And it's one of the few times where I'm like, it's not fun to play against it because it's too long. And at the end of the day, every other boss fight takes between 1 and 3 minutes max to beat. Dice Man takes up to 8 to 10 minutes to get through his whole thing. And it's frustrating to get to the end part and then die and have to do it all again. And there's a lot of dice roll. It's a whole thing.
So I haven't played Cuphead yet. That actually might be the next one I get. But on that one, I've seen some videos of your, like, in a casino or something, mm-hmm. and you're going, and there's ones that say start over or something like that. You're just rolling a dice and rolling a number and hoping that you don't win.
Just fucking hoping you don't hit that.
Game start of the
over,
year.
Because then you start over. Now, here's the thing. The dice, and this is something that I learned over time, you can control the dice rolls. It only goes 1 to 3. And if you parry at the right time, you do get the number that you want. However, it's hard.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like split screen thinking where you have to, like, get it at the exact right point or else you don't get the number you want, and mm-hmm. that could be the difference between starting over or not. But then the problem is, like, the boss fight at the end of that is challenging, and you don't mm-hmm. get the trial and error ability to do it over and over and learn from your mistakes because you have to do all this other shit to get to
it's
it.
It's like classic
boss
battles in, like, an NES or SNES game.
It was the first time in Cuphead that I felt the pacing was off.
Yeah.
But then once I got past, I felt so fucking good, and I beat the hell out of the final boss, and I was so happy. What an amazing game. I
gotta play it. I gotta download it. I just haven't started it.
It's so good. And so then after I did that, I did go back a little bit and try to get all the extra coins that I missed and the little extra shit just because I wanted. There's no way that I'm gonna... What's the Xbox version of Platinum? Do they have a name for it?
1,000.
There's 1,000 gamer score. That's it.
Score.
Yeah, there's no way. I looked at Jeremy Dooley from Achievement Hunter got it.
He's an idiot.
And it blows my mind because the pacifist runs you have to do on the run and gun stages, I don't know how anyone could do it. But whatever. I'm happy with beating it. I can stop there. I'm playing a lot of my SNES Classic just because it is one of those things where I've beat these games so many times that I don't need to commit to going through them all. Right. But
yeah.
when I have 20 minutes here or there, like when Gia's making dinner and she's like, oh, it's going to be ready soon. I'm like, all right, pop it in, play F-Zero for a little bit.
Which is such a callback to your childhood of mom being like, dinner's on 100%. In 20 minutes. Like, all right, let me beat the level. Huh?
But yeah, man, the SNES Classic is such a fun little thing just to have. And such a great lineup of games. And I just love that so many of them are just pick up and play. And I'm like, oh, this is great. But then there's longer things you can get into, too, like Final Fantasy or Earthbound and all this stuff. If you've never played them, obviously it's a great way to play them. But yeah, that's pretty much been it for me.
How's the cord length on that SNES? I know it's longer.
Infuriating. Nope, not long enough. Not nearly long enough. I need to have an HDMI cord come out to the system. To my game, so my system's just in the middle of my floor, and I'm not that far from my TV. Yeah. Like my couch is like right there, so it's kind of upsetting.
I think someone makes a wireless.
They do
a USB.
But I don't really want to commit to all that. It's like my thing is
these shenanigans.
Like the virtual console. Once that hopefully eventually in whatever form comes to Switch, then I'll invest in whatever wireless controller they have that connects to the Switch. But
well, I just use it. I haven't even docked my Switch. Ever. I don't know where my dock is, honestly.
Wow.
That's awesome. Good on you. I like that a lot. It's weird. I mean, with my Switch, I never think of it that as a thing either, right? I was getting excited for Mario. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, yeah, it'll be great to get it and like Jen can play or watch whatever she wants. And I was sitting and I'm like, oh, wait, we have the two TVs out there. I guess I could plug it into the dock, which is the same thing that happened over the weekend when I stopped playing Friday the 13th and streaming it. I went over and started cooking dinner and Joey and Jen were next to each other on the couch, Jen playing on the TV, and then Joey's still playing on her Switch. And after like 15 minutes, I'd be like, Joe, you can use the TV I was just using. Like, you can use the other dock. She's like, ah, I guess I could.
Yeah.
And then she was like, I never use a pro controller.
Well, that
thing
either.
Is so
I
weird.
The pro controller, like, in my experience, I found the pro controller is only really worth it if you're playing on TV.
Oh, sure.
Having it just in tabletop mode or whatever, it's like, I'd rather just be playing handheld.
Oh, that's stupid, no.
You know?
That's why I'm better at you in Mario Kart. Because, like, I'm telling you, when I'm on an airplane, I got
you've
it
never
on
beat me in Mario Kart.
I put it, bullshit.
You haven't.
Stop getting it right now. Just go get it right now.
You haven't beat me. Nah. You haven't beat me in Mario Kart you've been good.
No.
Like, since Mario Kart.
Not true. Not true. Never. In any race.
I mean, in any race of, like, importance. Like, us just fucking around or whatever. But in any, like...
any race you win is not of importance.
Okay,
apparently.
Fine. Well, then you haven't beat me. It's period. I don't think I've ever played with you where you beat me.
Bullshit. Kevin, you got to be a fact checker on this. Is that true? I remember when we were playing here in the mornings when Mario Kart was, we were all over it.
I wasn't there.
Tim was never here.
That's what
I'm
saying.
So I think really you're just nice. So is it, are you making that you're better than me argument? Or are you making a Nick Scarpino argument of you? It's just never happened. So
I'm saying it never happened.
Okay, thank you.
You don't know that you're better than me.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying.
Thank you. Now I'm all right with his argument. Now I'm all right with his argument. All right. Sorry, I was confused there.
Now it's time for this week in gaming history with the longest list of games of all time. And man, it hit a thing.
The fall, man.
We were in June. We were in May. We were in whatever the fuck we first started doing this. I guess it was June.
Yeah.
June, July. Then
nothing,
it was like, oh,
nothing ever
maybe
came out.
Five or six
then.
Games. And then it's like, once we hit August, it was like more. But now that we're like mid October,
waterfall.
Prepare for this. It's the waterfall. Longest list ever. 2 years ago, on October 16, 2015, Yoshi's Woolly World came out on the Wii U. I just want to give that one a shout out because it was. Do you play it at all?
No, I never had a Wii U.
So. Oh,
yeah, you didn't. But
then they put it on a 3DS and it didn't run as good. It's a whole thing.
Did you like it a lot?
I liked it.
I played it. That's when I played for a little bit and just bailed. I was
didn't
like,
love it. It was way better than Yoshi's New Island.
Was it better than Kirby's Epic Yarn?
That sounded like a Yoshi sound.
Kicking your legs.
It was better than Kirby's Epic Yarn.
Okay,
it was. 2 years ago on October 20th, 2015, Guitar Hero Live came out on PS4. So this was the re-ushering in of what was sure to be a fruitful future.
One of our most successful Let's Plays ever.
Top buttons, ever. Bottom kind of buttons. Games.
The Guitar Hero Live Let's Play of me and Alfredo playing is the, to this day, number one video on Kind of Funny Games.
Wow, that's
really?
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, it sucks that I mean, it doesn't suck, but it was one of those things that came out, and I played it, and I was actually like, that's a game that we took home, I mean, mm-hmm. and I played for a few nights where I was like, you know, this is actually really fucking cool, and I'm rusty now as to what was cool about the like career mode, but it was cool. There was different things happening.
Guitar Hero Live was the one that was live action video.
Yeah. Real audience.
That what you doing.
It was fucking awesome. And
it was cool.
The
black and
the
white
guitar
buttons.
Was the black and white, so it was 3 and 3.
Yeah. I didn't like that.
But there was something about the way
it unlocked
shit.
Getting used to it was impossibly hard, and I think that the fact that game came out, there was no saving that game. Yeah. Period. But the fact that it came out right next to Rock Band 4 was such a disaster, because it's like I would never get used to it, because then there's this thing that I'm used to. So playing that, right. Like,
and that
oh,
was
cool.
the party and game. Could, that's what everybody wanted you to do.
It was too
familiar. All your old songs transferred to
so
Rock
Guitar
Band.
Hero Live came out to like a very like bad.
Yeah,
it should have gone off on its own. Yeah, been before Rock Band 4 and then had a shot, but otherwise no.
But my thing is Guitar Hero Live, I loved it because it was more about score challenge and it was more about the difficulty and rhythm game. Mm-hmm. Like people needed some prowess there to be able to get through it. But yeah, I could never wrap my head around it, and then other things happened, so it died.
I feel like more people played Guitar Hero solo in Rock Band with friends.
Absolutely.
100%.
Yeah. Another thing I would like to see come back, it's kind of Guitar Hero related. Dance Dance Revolution.
I'm just waiting. Although it never really went away, and well, that says something.
I spent $200 on one of those.
The Cobalt Flux
the
ones?
The huge foam.
Oh, okay. Thrustmaster,
Dance
probably.
Pet. I can't remember what it was called.
Yeah, the Cobalt Flux were the like actual professional metal ones.
Okay, not that one. It was like the step under that. I mean, I was like 16. I don't know.
Yeah.
But, oh my God, I played so much DDR.
Yeah, me too, man.
Unbelievable amount.
What's your favorite?
Homeless. DDR Max 2.
I love Max 2. But Extreme, I think, has the best song list. But DDR Max 1 holds a very special place in my heart. Rhythm and Policeman. 6 years ago, on October 16, 2011, Skylander Spyro's Adventure came out on 3DS, PS3, Wii, and 360, kicking off Toys to Life.
The Skylander craze.
Being
man.
A whole thing.
They made it happen.
They took Spyro. And they fucking crushed his hopes and dreams.
They finally
and
made
crushed
him matter.
Into this little thing and made him make a lot of money.
They finally made him matter. After years of obscurity. And
fuck
being
Greg Miller. Hashtag unleash the dragon. 2018. Make it happen. 6 years ago on October 18, 2011, Batman Arkham City came out.
Yeah.
On PS3 and 360. That feels like a long time ago.
It does, yeah.
Six years.
Yeah. Great game, though. Great game.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. 7 years ago, October 19, 2010, Vanquish.
Wow, the Ryan Clements joint.
Yeah, one of the most disappointingly selling games of all time.
Yeah, that was the one where everybody's like, Platinum is awesome. Have you seen this game, Vanquish? You slide around and shoot shit.
Man, it deserves so much better. I'm happy that it got another shot. 8 years ago, October 20th, 2009, Borderlands 1 came out on PS3 and 360. That was another one that, like, I mean, let's see, what year is that? I wasn't in IGN yet, so I wasn't even in the industry. And that kind of took me by surprise. I don't know if people kind of were expecting that to be a thing, but I remember when it came out, it was just like this super stylish intro with the theme song and all that stuff. I was like, this looks fucking cool. And the cel shaded and just the look of it.
The problem, the only problem with why Borderlands, I think, would have done even better, because obviously it did amazing. Don't get me wrong. But it would have, the problem was the messaging leading up to launch it sounded so much like a game I wouldn't want to play. Where they were like, we have infinite guns and you're going to get this. And we're like, you know, I was in the like, this is a classic video, the old classic IGN video of like Dave Clayman being Randy Pitchford, which is like first time anybody heard of Randy Pitchford, and that like I'm a celebrity, whatever, and like they throw knives and we were attacking each other and killing people who didn't get it, and it was like you're hearing about this game just like infinite gun combinations, this, that, and they're like, what is this? And they were pitching it as like, it is this,
it's the hardcore gamers game,
exactly, it's the gamer shooter with RPG elements, which was like crazy at the time or whatever. And so I was like, what? And then when you got your hands on it and you played with other people, it was like, oh, I get it. And that was why like Clayman and Brudvig and stuff that would go home at night and do what people do now in Destiny and Raid and go after these Leviathan bosses over and over and over again, try to get better loot.
This one's for you, Greg. 8 years ago on October 20th, 2009, GTA Chinatown Wars came out on the PSP.
Fuck yeah, it did. Chinatown Wars is awesome.
Yeah?
Awesome game. That, you want to talk about a game Rockstar should put on the Switch. Just keep putting it out.
Have it on my Vita. Still haven't played it.
You're a monster.
Chinatown Wars, if I remember correctly, was the 3DS game? DS game.
Yeah, right. Sorry.
Because the PSP first had Liberty City and then Vice City Stories.
Correct, yeah. So this was the one that caught everybody's surprise when they put it on DS. Because it was like, Rockstar's working Nintendo, and you're like, and you played it, and it's like, this is a GTA game, I'm selling drugs. This whole game, whole thing here is that there was an economy in the game that you played that you were selling drugs, and you'd buy them in one part of town at a cheaper rate, and then come over here and sell them at a higher rate. And like, and it was like, this game's fucking awesome, and it's so fucking good.
I never played it.
You're an idiot.
Going back to something we were talking about earlier, 9 years ago, October 19, 2008, Rock Band 2 came out on PS3.
That was the one.
Rock Band 2, my favorite of the Rock Bands.
Hell yeah. Oh my God, yeah. You kidding me? It was amazing. Rock Band 2
DLC,
was awesome.
If I remember correctly, like that was the first one to... to have the continuous DLC where
Every week we're putting out songs.
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of shit, and like it all adds on top of each other. And
I think there was a way, like if you had Rock Band 1 and you bought Rock Band 2, not all of them, but like 95% of them, you could put on the second game. So you automatically had this enormous list.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, Rock Band, I never fucked with it as much as Guitar Hero, because I was in it for the more arcadey shit instead of the friend party stuff, but it was fun at parties.
Rock Band, man, that was the movement, because that was the... It's funny you think about like my career and like games that like define them or whatever, but early years was Rock Band, because I started IGN, and it was that the first day of work, there was an event down, or maybe it was the second day, because I think it went home. Doesn't matter. Second day of work, which was the Friday before GDC, there was an event I went to with Jeff Haynes, and it was downtown, and it was a thing where it was an EA event. Harmonix was up there talking, not about Rock Band, but like excited about what their next project might be, and behind them they had a real drum kit and a real guitar and a real microphone. And I had to do an interview with Alex from Harmonix, and I was like, he's like, I can't say, blah, blah, blah. And then it was like, it's Rock Band. And then Rock Band was so popular with our group at IGN. Like, Hillary was so into it, and Damon was so into it. And like, we would do the thing where you would rap work in that, well, not even rap work, when we were rapping our work at like 4:30, 5 o'clock, fucking Nick Scarpino and the video team idiots, a Craig Barrett on entire route would go in there and just fucking destroy the demo room. And then we'd all rap and we'd go in there. And it was that thing where we'd go see movies and then you'd come back to the office and just fucking party and play Rock Band all the time.
Like, Rock Band was like, even at drinking parties, like house parties, people had Rock Band. It was just...
It's the way it was.
It was a group activity.
Yeah, man. Time and place. R.I.P. 9 years ago on October 21st, 2008, Far Cry 2 came out on PC, PS3, and 360. Was it 2 or 3?
3.
3 was the one where everyone was just like, similar to Vanquish, or just, holy shit, this is an amazing game.
3 is the one where it went on everybody's radar. It was like, holy shit, what the fuck is this? People love Far Cry 2. They're, mm-hmm. And there's depth.
And even Far Cry 1. I remember in the day.
Yeah, Far Cry 2, in terms of fandom, is like, if you liked Persona 3. You know what I mean? Like, if you were on, you got on the train early, you're like, there's something here, guys. And then the next one is where everybody was like, what the fuck? Because that was the one where I'll never forget Far Cry 3, where we were doing Game of the Year discussions at IGN, and Mitch was reviewing it. And Mitch brought us all into a room and showed us a little bit of it. He's like, guys, this game is awesome. I know it's not out yet. We've got to vote before anything happens, but it wasn't going to work out. He's like, you got to understand. And we're all like, whatever. And we left. And then we all played it over break, and we're like, we've made a huge mistake. That game is awesome. Why did we all not listen to Mitch? He was telling us that game was great. Like, why didn't you tell me I could just kill turtles and make wallets? Like, I was all about this.
11 years ago on October 17, 2006, Bully came out on PS2.
Yes, Bully. Yeah. What a great game. Another one that I miss, but I don't want to go back and play again.
Yeah, it would be so hard.
It's a PS4 or PS2, PS4 classic. But it's like,
even going back with that control scheme.
Yep, no, totally. That's the thing. Every time they're like, I remember when GTA 3 and Vice City dropped. And granted, they've been put out a million times now. But when you got it, you're like, yeah. And you're like, oh my god, I can't use this. Oh, I can't rotate oh my god. Like Bully is in my head right now. Is this great game that was all? And I'm like,
just leave it
until
there.
Until they do a HD remaster from the ground up, or you know, a reboot, whatever. I'm good. Yeah,
that definitely is helpful for a PS2 game. So luckily, 12 years ago on October 18, 2005, Shadow of the Colossus came out on PS2, and I'll never need to play that one again because the new one's coming out, and that'll fix the problems. And I'm so stoked for that. Damn game. It'll fix the guy.
It better. Problems, Greg. I mean, Last Guardian didn't, so we'll see what they do here.
Well, that's totally no. Yeah. 12 years ago, on October 18, 2005, Tony Hawk's American Wasteland came out on PS2. The interesting one, because it was the last real core Tony Hawk game that had the same type of progression system and all that. And it was also the first one to be cross-platform, where it was also a launch title for the Xbox 360. Which would come out about a month later, which put me in a really weird spot. Because I was like, fuck, do I wait and get the next gen? Or do I fucking play it early? I played it early, because that's the type of person I am. This is the first Tony Hawk game that had open worlds, where it was all one level, except it was really shitty, because they just hid the loading times in the tunnels.
I do remember that.
It was set in the 80s, with the all 80s soundtrack, all in LA.
That sounds cool.
And it was cool, but there was so much shit to hold it back. And it was... already on the decline of Tony Hawk influence. Yeah. Like, anything they were adding from a gameplay perspective was gimmicky bullshit that didn't make the game better. I feel like that stopped with 4 when they added like spine transfers and all that, because that was helpful for the game. Tony Hawk's Underground out of getting off the board, and that's when it was just downhill from there. Then eventually
we got
Tony Hawk Downhill Jam, and that was horrible.
But then Tony Hawk Ride brought it all back.
Brought it somewhere. And then 12 years ago on October 17, 2005, Fire Emblem Path of Radiance came out on GameCube. My first Fire Emblem game. To this day, I think the best Fire Emblem game.
Oh.
It's old, so like I feel like Awakening and the 3DS games have fixed a lot of quality of life issues. But Path of Radiance is the one Ike's from, and it is such a great story, such a great game. Did you ever play it?
I never did.
Did you play ever any Fire Emblem?
Mm-mm.
You should play Fire Emblem. There's a million of them now. 16 years ago on October 16, 2001, Devil May Cry 1 came out on PS2. God, I love that game. Yeah. God, I love the atmosphere of it. The boss fights were fucking great. So happy it wasn't a Resident Evil game because it almost was. And man, it's Ebony and Ivory. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know.
You're
I know.
Just Dante.
Dante doing his thing.
He's just so fucking cool.
Got his trench coat.
Back when Hot Topic was cool.
Yeah.
Everything about that game was fucking cool.
Super cool.
Did you play it at all?
I played it for a while. Like my friend Adam, who was the one who waited in line for PlayStation 2 with me, I remember he got it and he was talking. And I was like, all right. And I tried it. I was like, this just ain't my kind of game.
Oh, man. It was my time at game so much. And then when Ninja Gaiden was coming out on Xbox, I was so stoked for that.
I was all about Ninja Gaiden. Although that... It was a hard ass game.
It was a hard ass game.
So fucking hard.
As it should be. As the name should imply.
Absolutely. And I brought this up earlier on the Kind of Funny Games Daily Show. But 15 years ago on October 16, 2002, Time Splitters 2 came out on PS2, GameCube, and Xbox. Man, what a damn game. Do you guys play Time Splitters at all?
A little bit here and there, but we were more N64, still GoldenEye and all, or yeah. Perfect Dark and all that jazz.
This was after that.
I know, but I'm saying like that was our thing of like, well, it's got four slots. We don't have to buy the adapter. We're all just going to play split screen down here.
Because the first three Time Splitters, which I guess were all the Time Splitters, God, they were so good. Like one was a launch title for PS2, if not first month.
I don't remember the exact.
It was real early PS2. I didn't have one yet, but I would go over to my friend's uncle's house and we would just play the shit out of it. It's like, this feels like GoldenEye. And it wasn't until years later, I'm like, oh, it was made by the GoldenEye guys. Mm-hmm. Like, this makes total sense. Two just upped the ante with the storyline was super fun. Like, the campaign mode was super fun. So many characters and, like, the fun of Odd Job versus Jaws in GoldenEye, where it's just let's just have some stupid shit with dumb game modes. This game just was like, here's just that. You know, go for it. And then Future Perfect was awesome as well. And then this one I have no care for, but I did own it. And I'm hoping you might. And somebody on Twitter hit me up like, you better include this on the list. So
damn.
This is for you. 17 years ago on October 21st, 2000, Command & Conquer Red Alert 2 came out on PC.
On PC now?
Yeah.
It was one of those dork shit happening here.
18 years ago on October 18th, 1999, the most important video game to ever come out happened, Crash Team Racing on PlayStation 1, the best kart racer ever. And then on...
What do you think? What are your odds at PSX this year? They announced that Sean Layden comes out and says that.
There's a chance. There is a chance.
Yeah.
It's either going to be the next Crash, Spyro Remastered, or Crash Team Racing something. I'm hoping Remaster from the ground up. And then 19 years ago on October 21st, 1998, a game no one really has heard of called Metal Gear Solid came out.
Four-disc PlayStation
on PlayStation 1.
Jesus.
It wasn't just two?
Four discs.
For Metal Gear?
Metal Gear Solid?
I thought it was four. Maybe.
No, it was two, yeah.
Was it two?
Final Fantasy was three. Final Fantasy 7. That was much bigger.
Maybe that's what I was thinking of. I just remember multiple discs.
Yeah, it's two for sure.
Final Fantasy 8 was four, if I remember correctly.
And even some 360 games towards the end of the generation ended up being
two discs.
And I was like, I started playing more PS3 stuff at that point because I just...
You're like, I can't fuck with this.
I get them to put these discs in and out.
Yeah, not about that life.
23 years ago, October 17, 1994, Sonic and Knuckles came out on Genesis, which was essentially the second half of Sonic the Hedgehog 3. 23 years ago, on October 20th, 1994, Final Fantasy 3 came out on the Super Nintendo, which is one of the best Final Fantasies, a.k.a. Final Fantasy 6 in Japan. 25 years ago, on October 21st, 1992, Super Mario Land 6 Golden Coins came out on Game Boy. One of the most underrated Mario games, Mario platformer games of all time.
Is that the first Super Mario?
Second one. It was Super Mario Land 2, 6 Golden Coins. Super Mario Land, not that good, the first one. It was what you'd think of when you're like, oh, this is a Game Boy Mario game. Mario Land 2 was essentially like, no, this is a Mario game. It has its own feel, its own vibe to it, its own power-ups like the bunny ears and all the different worlds you go to were super imaginative, and like there was one that was like toy-based and one where you go to the moon. It was awesome. And then
my first Mario game, you know, was on Game Boy.
So it must have been Mario Land.
Yeah, but I don't remember which one it was.
This one had was Wario's debut. He was the boss.
No, maybe it was. I forget. I was a young
kid.
This one
was fantastic. Okay. 26 years ago, Spider-Man came out on October 17, 1991 on Genesis.
Oh,
there it is.
Right, I guess, or 90.
Spider-Man.
Yeah, that
one. Okay, I played that one too. But I got a soft spot in my heart for that.
Neversoft one.
Yeah, of
course. And I didn't put it on the list, but it was also this week that Enter Electro, the second
Neversoft
one,
came
out. Not so fun memories of that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll just stick with the first one.
Yeah. But yeah, Spider-Man, I never played it.
Really?
The Genesis one?
Oh, my God.
I played Maximum Carnage and what was the Super Nintendo one that was Spider-Man? Was it Spider-Man and the X-Men? Spider-Man and the...
I was Sega kids, so I don't know.
Whatever it was. I don't know.
Dude, you missed out. That Spider-Man game was so fucking good.
Especially in 1991.
Yeah. Yeah. It had so many cool mechanics to it of like you had to take pictures to get money so you could use it on web fluid. He had the idle animation. You could crawl on the ceiling at any time, and then he'd have the idle animation where he'd stand up and like cross his arms, but he's hanging upside down looking at you and shit.
That's cool.
It had a gruesome fucking ending I could never beat as a kid, but like where you'd get to Kingpin at the end or whatever, and the whole thing is you get to Kingpin at the end and you've got to fight him, and behind him he's got Mary Jane tied up on a chain and she's like slowly going down into either water or acid. It must have been water because it was like it wasn't till her face, and every time I would just not be able to get the boss pattern out as I'm a dumb kid. And like she'd go in and drown, and Spider-Man would collapse to his knees and grab his head, and then it would just end. And I'm like, all right, well, fuck, we keep going.
In the canon of Greg Miller's life,
yeah,
Mary Jane is dead.
Yeah, Spider-Man. Yeah, exactly. I could never, ever, ever save her. But it was so great.
While we're on the Spider-Man topic, I am Team White Spider. I love.
I think it looks great.
Once I get the game and I'm playing it, I'll be fine with it. But just now, it just doesn't know.
God, that game's really coming next year. Yeah. Holy shit. Yeah.
Maybe.
I feel confident.
They say 2018.
I feel very confident.
Yeah, it probably will. They did say everything at E3.
Everything at E3 that had 2018 was first half of 2018. I'm getting Spider-Man down.
Go for it. And then finally, 32 years ago, on October 18th, 1985. Super Mario Brothers 1 came out on NES. A couple weeks ago, we talked about the Japanese release date of it, but this is in America. So there.
Yeah, remember you went back to your bedroom. You had to be there. You fought all the Sinister Six and stuff. Just great stuff.
Wow, that's a lot of shit for a 1991 game.
I really would love to go back and replay it.
Hmm.
This is a Japanese version because I just bought it in Japan.
It does look like
this is my this is my touching dad story. This one that's wrapped around this one, Spider-Man. So like every time. I should buy it again on PS, or just regular Genesis as well.
Now it's time for a little bit of audience Q&A. You can go to kindoffunny.com/gamescast, just like so many people did. But before we do that, you had a question that you wanted to
You're a member ask. Of the audience.
Yeah, I guess it's kind of a topic. What I want out of PlayStation and Xbox, I guess, but it's not as big of a problem with Xbox because... We don't both have Xboxes, but we both have PlayStations. I want some kind of family share system where if you buy digital games and you are in the same house, you can both use those games. Now, I know what you're going to say. Switch the home consoles. Make mine.
Whoever's buying the thing, have the primary system be there. Because are you up on all this?
No.
So, I didn't ever think about this until Jen moved in as well. And, we used two PS4s there. Where, on my PlayStation 4, that I've deemed my primary PlayStation 4. You've done this?
Yes.
Okay, cool. Because, if you haven't ever done this, you're like, oh, I only use one PlayStation 4. It doesn't matter. Go into the settings. Make it your primary PlayStation 4 so that if the power ever, or not the power, but the internet ever goes out, you can play all your games on there and not have to worry about having to refresh licenses. I digress. One of the other powers of a primary PlayStation 4 is that it's my primary PlayStation 4. I buy 100 games. If you log into your account on that PS4, you can play all those games as well. Whereas if you were using my secondary PS4, I have those 100 games, you log in, every one of them would have a little lock on it saying you can't use it. Primary 4, PlayStation 4 share a library. Unprimary PS4s do not.
Got it.
It's kind of complicated, and we went back and forth trying several different ways to get it to work better. It just doesn't. It works how it works, and it is what it is. But that way we can share games on different systems. But the problem when you do that is you don't get some of the PlayStation Plus benefits. You don't get the auto upload your saves. You don't get the, like, where you can go on your phone, tell it a game
start
you
downloading,
want,
do this stuff.
Tell it to download. It'll download your system because it's going to download to her system.
You only can communicate to one primary PlayStation right. 4.
So what I want is somehow to be able, if we're in the same house, same family, to be able to have all my benefits, have two consoles, have a share.
Have two primary PlayStation 4s.
Yeah, because I don't want to buy two copies of every game. When I
yeah, you don't
want to
support developers. You don't want to support the video game industry. You want the free ride. I get it. Excuse me, miss! Excuse me, miss!
Of course, we support the developers. Yeah, we don't buy used games. We don't sell games back,
okay.
usually. And but I just... I want to have those features because there's a... Okay, there's a story to this. It's a little bit long-winded, and I'm sorry to ramble here. But we were playing... Beyond
Two Souls.
Two Souls, yeah.
Ellen Page's breakout game.
Yes. Where you you play, if you don't know what Beyond is, you play as, I think Jody is her name, the girl.
That sounds right. It's a J name for sure.
And then you have Aiden, which is the spirit character that follows you around. And so we like to play a lot of games together. We try to find co-op games and stuff. That actually was a really fun one to play together. The game itself, not great. But playing together, she plays Jody and I play Aiden.
Yeah.
So if you're playing the game, you control both characters, but you're supposed to be, you know, possessed or not possessed, but followed around by this spirit that you can't control. It kind of does what it wants. The cool thing about when we played it is she literally could not control what I did.
Yeah.
And we would be doing stuff and she'd be like, hey, slap them around a little bit and just kind of teach them a lesson. I'd be like, okay, I'll just go fucking start killing them. And she's like, no, it's not what I want. I'm like, I do what I want. So it was a fun game to play together, but we went through the whole game. We got to the very, very, 5 minutes left in the game.
Yeah.
The game crashes. Which is not a big deal. Games crash. It happens. And I restarted the game, went to load it, wouldn't load.
Oh.
What had happened was the game crashed while it was auto-saving. So since we have our system set up the way we do, we had no save before that. Nothing
gotcha.
We could reload because it didn't auto-upload.
Yeah.
And we try to do it like every couple days. We'll go and tell it to manually upload
sure.
to the cloud so we don't have stuff like this happen. But we hadn't done it with that game, so we had no save. And it just, I tried everything. I deleted the game, I reinstalled it and everything.
That sucks.
So, luckily we were at the very end, so we just went on YouTube and watched the end of the game.
Yeah.
But still, those didn't are features. Those are PlayStation Plus features that I would like to have and still continue to have our games in the same family household.
Sure.
And I don't know why that's so difficult. I swear Xbox had something like that several years ago. And I
well, remember that was going to be Xbox One's whole thing, right? That it was going to be bastion of entertainment and you could share your library with anybody and do all these different things inside of your account. I mean, the reason it doesn't work on PlayStation 4, the reason it is how it is on PlayStation 4 is that so many people abused it with PlayStation 3.
Yeah, I know they did.
The open fucking game trading.
But that's like the completely opposite
sure.
end
no,
of the
I know
spectrum.
You're wrong. Like you want to talk about cracking the whip, right?
Yeah.
Overcorrecting,
you just,
maybe.
You just put some kind of... I know there's a way those consoles know your address, or at least your IP address, or where sure. you are.
Yeah.
I feel like they could...
Enable location
enable something stuff. In there yeah. where we're in the same... And even if I had to pay, like, two PlayStation Plus or like a Super PlayStation Plus where it's like $120 or $150 whatever. I would be fine with that.
Yeah.
If
how
I could,
often does this rear its head for you guys?
Okay, so in that particular case, that's the only time it happened where a game crashed.
Oh, I don't even mean that. I just mean the fact that you both want to play the same game so you're using the primary system, hopping on that kind of thing.
It happens sometimes like if she's already in the living room watching something and I want to play something in my room.
Sure.
That she bought. Now, hold on. It's confusing.
Now we need the string theory charts, whiteboards out here trying to explain it.
Yeah. So if it's something that she bought, I can't play it on my PlayStation.
Yeah.
I think is how it goes.
Okay.
And I'm telling you, it's confusing. We went through like an hour and a half Googling, trying to figure out some way to make it work better. But
yeah, you're not alone in this. It's a complaint I hear all the time from people about it. And it's one of those that I know for me is frustrating as well in terms, and not to the level it is for you, but it is that thing of like, I've definitely gone home and been like, fuck, I didn't upload the save from work or whatever. You know what I mean? And there's no way for me to connect to this PlayStation to say, hey, upload the save, because if I try to connect to PlayStation, I'm going to connect
to your primary
the one that's my primary, which is the one right in front of me at home. And even with Jen now, where it is that she's playing Stardew on my PlayStation because she hasn't bought it herself, there's the few times where it's been like, oh, okay, well, start downloading this for me because I can't get on that PlayStation anymore to do it.
And if you have something that you pre-order, normally it's going to auto-download, you know, the day before, 2 days before.
Yeah.
And it doesn't do that. I got to remember, if I pre-order something, to go in manually, tell it the day before to start downloading on my PlayStation.
Right.
Because I think it'll auto-download on hers.
Because she's got her set up as a primary.
Because it's switched, yeah.
Okay.
Very confusing.
Yeah. Mm. But so this is just a please Shuhei moment.
Please Shuhei. Let us
have two primary PS4s.
Let us be a family.
You came with the family apart, Shu. They just got engaged.
Nintendo does that sometimes with its multiplayer games, like especially the portable ones, where it's like you only need one cart to be able to play multiplayer or whatever. But then they don't have any type of infrastructure where that matters for saves or
Well, that's the thing. I mean, don't even get me started on Nintendo, right? Because that's the same thing with them, where it's just like, can we please fucking transfer saves and profiles or whatever? Like Jen is playing Stardew and she would play it on Switch. Mm-hmm. But she doesn't have a Switch of her own. She just has a profile on my Switch. So she's like, I don't want to start on your Switch and then have you get into Mario and not be able to play it. Oh, and I can't save that over.
All your save data
is locked to that one
locked
thing.
Locked to the system.
It's locked to I didn't even
the
know that.
The physical system.
Yeah. So if you lose the system, it's all gone. Yeah. Yeah, you'd hope they'd fix that.
A couple days ago, I was looking into, because every once in a while I start thinking about Virtual Console and getting really sad.
As we all do. We're all human beings.
But I was thinking about it. I was just like, all right, like obviously we're going to get some hint at the future when the online infrastructure like actually officially launches. And they've pushed that. They've punted it over to 2018. But I was looking. I was like, has there been any update, any news article or anything about like more information? It's like, nah, it's still just 2018.
That's the last I heard, yeah.
And I'm like, oh, man. Because I feel like that will come with a fix there.
Do you think they're going to fix the audio, like chat audio, where you have to talk to someone through the phone app?
That's the thing is like once they launch their paid online service, I imagine a lot of these quality of life things will be part of that.
You'd like to imagine they will be.
You would, but I mean, I
don't give them that. I would like to imagine that's what happens as well. I'll believe it when I see it. When they're like, all right, now it's time to start paying for this thing. We're like, this thing sucks. So how are you going to do it? You get a free game? I don't. No, that's not enough. No. Fucking make. Can I save? Can we transfer saves? Can we get profiles? Can we do this? Come on, man.
I mean, I imagine that stuff's going to come. I think that the moment that they start asking for money for this shit, there has to be at least some of those things. And I think if all of them will come to it, because like, I think the majority of people are like, I'm playing Splatoon 2 online for free. Would that many people play online if they had to pay for it? I don't think so.
No, God no.
So next question comes from Christoph. Do you think Amy Hennig could return to Naughty Dog now that EA killed Visceral Games?
See, I thought about that too, but I don't know the full story of...
Well, nobody does.
I guess no one does.
Well, I mean, the people who know it aren't talking.
Of why she left. It doesn't seem like it was on the best of terms.
Yeah, that was a giant kerfluffle, right? Like,
but it... I mean, I guess she could. I don't know.
Where do you see Amy Hennig ending up now?
That's a great question. It's hard to say because I said on Games Daily, right? Like I feel like it's gone one of two ways. Either it is that, hey, we're EA and guess what? The future is in games as services, shared world shit. This game isn't that. We're going to go away from it. Sorry. Or it is, hey, guess what? You guys missed a whole bunch of milestones. This blah, blah, blah. We're not going to do this anymore. If it's the latter, then I feel, and I use that right. I was confused. Yep. Former is the first one, latter is the later one. If it's the latter, I almost sounded smart for a second. Even though we'll never probably know that story circulates in the industry. right? And then is there a chilling effect then of, even if it's not Amy's fault, you know what I mean? But like the scuttlebutt when she left there was like, you know, that there's been a disagreement. Like, of course, there's the infamous article that they got forced out. There was this, that, and the other. There's drama. And if there was drama here again on that level, does that suddenly make a Ubisoft go, does that, you know what I mean? Like, it's that similar thing of when this all happened and she left Naughty Dog. I remember talking with, and Colin was always like, she can go wherever. A million people are knocking on her door. And granted, I bet right now a million people are knocking on her door.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's as similar to like Kojima. Like, you know what I mean? Where everybody, like, if it did go bad, it clearly went awkward in Naughty Dog. But if it went bad internally, right? I guess that means like overall Sony in general, PlayStation in general, right? That's a no-go. So then it's like, Ubisoft.
Yeah.
Ubisoft is still believes in single player story games. Now granted, they also believe in the open world, da da da, but like, hey, let's get her on board and let's do an Assassin's Creed. Hey, so you want to come in and do this or work on that?
Jason Schreier tweeted out a couple hours ago, like right before I came on, because somebody asked him about the whole Amy Hennig thing. He said to clarify, the Visceral wasn't closed because Star Wars is a single player game or something like that.
Okay.
And then somebody said, well, why did EA word it like that? And then he responded, well, investors don't want to hear that the game is a hot mess or something like that. So I feel like it is something more like they weren't meeting deadlines or milestones or whatever.
And again, that's not necessarily on Amy or her part of this equation. Right. Like, obviously, you know how many teams make a video game. I'm not saying that. But that's the question of how does that shake out and where do you go? And the fact of like what I tweeted it yesterday, but it's been 6 years since I've played a Amy Hennig game right now. Like, that's fucking crazy. You know what I mean? Yeah. And where that shakes out, where that goes, I don't know. It's also, you know what I mean? Like, where's her head at? Does she want to keep trying to do this? Like, you know what I mean? It's, of like making these games.
It's like where two major projects in a row that did not work out.
I would think if you're doing AAA stuff, it's going to be Ubisoft. I think it'd be a brilliant move if Xbox picked her up. We're like, hey, I'm Phil.
Oh shit!
Yeah. I'm Phil Spencer. We believe in gamers first. Amy Hennig makes games that are gamers first. We want that. We want an Uncharted. We want a single player story. We want an exclusive that you want to buy an Xbox One X for.
Wow,
that'd be an awesome get. But I don't know what studio you put her with or how that works.
Yeah.
But Xbox has plenty of studios to put people
with. Sure. Yeah. Wow. That would be awesome. Adam Levine.
What?
But it's spelled L-L-E-V-E-Y-N. I don't know. How long do you guys think it'll be before Sony attempts to break into games as a service market with a first party game?
Another fascinating question. I would hesitate. My guess there would be that they don't with a current current first party. I could see them trying to identify another third party, a third party studio to bring in as a first party, another purchase, if they really wanted to. I don't know if they need to. They can just get an exclusive games as service on their own and do it that way. You figure that my reasoning behind this, of course, is that what I think you see with Sony first parties is that we know you're good at this kind of game. You guys are motivated to make this kind of game, make that kind of game. And I don't think you see that from them. Sony San Diego, right? Like, hey, we're the MLB, the show people. We do this. We're also going to incubate this stuff. Let's try to make some MOBAs. Let's try to make some free-to-play stuff. And they did. And none of them were runaway successes. And they all got the games went away and the people got laid off. And I was like, ooh, that fucking sucks. And it's like, all right, hey, we're Sony Santa Monica. We've been known for God of War, these great single-player stories. Let's make God of War Ascension, this multiplayer thing. Ooh, this didn't really work out that well. Like, let's go back to basics. Let's do this. Let's do a God of War story. That's awesome. Yeah. Bring back Corey. Okay, go do that. It's like, right now, I think what you would need to have is a first-party studio that has the passion to do it and then also the technical know-how. Mm-hmm. And I don't think those are out there, and I don't think that's a bad thing. I'm not saying that a Sony first-party couldn't do it, but they would run into so many problems of trying to figure that out. Even when you look at a game like Warhawk, right? Like, that was a long, long time ago, and it was awesome, but it was what? That was a partnership with Eat Sleep Play, but were they Eat Sleep Play at the time? No, Incognito, right? And was Incognito first party at the time? I'll get back to you on that one.
Man, Incognito, that was a long time ago.
Well, Warhawk, really, Incognito was a long time, yeah.
Really?
Unless I'm totally wrong. Let's see.
Man, last I remember, Incognito wasn't around since the PS2 era. Did they do PS3 games?
Well, now you're making me doubt everything. Hold on. Just hold on a second.
Don't forget. Incognito.
Yeah, developers were incognito on that.
Thank you. Wow.
Because that was still Dylan Job, and then Dylan Job left and did. Oh, I'm really. This is information I've used. He left and then did Eat, Sleep, Play with Jaffe, and then that's where they did Starhawk out of. Then Jaffe had already left or was about to. He left after Twisted Metal, and then Dylan left after that and went to the other thing. It would make mobile games. Jaffe went off and did Detective Jones, Detective Bartlett's Jones's, the Bartlett Jones thing he's still doing now that made Drawn to Death. Mm. Oh, Incognito was the first party. I am rusty.
Well, because Incognito during the PS2 generation, they made Twisted Metal Black, they made War of the Monsters, and then they made Downhill Domination. Is that correct? Those are all PS2.
Yeah, hold on.
Those are PS2 exclusives.
They did Black, Small Brawl, Black Online, War of the Monsters, Downhill Domination, Head On, Calling All Cars, Warhawk.
Yeah, okay, cool. Goddamn, Downhill Domination was good.
God, I haven't thought about fucking closed first parties in forever. But that's the thing, it's just you need somebody who's like dedicated and knows what they're doing and on it, right? Like even Warhawk, which was, I think, fucking awesome, was a different time. Smaller games, smaller maps, fewer players. They knew what they were doing. But for a games as service, let's try to compete with Destiny. Like, that doesn't seem like anybody's first party idea.
What would be the value there? Now, the value is microtransactions and making the money off of
owning my share. Like,
all that constant stuff. So right now, what Sony has going for it is the fact that it has exclusive game coming out that are all of high quality and people really enjoy, and then they can kind of rely on the third parties for that holiday season. So they can rely on the Battlefronts and Destiny, and
they keep making partnerships with Destiny. Why do they care?
They would be better off just trying to get more exclusive content for the third party games instead of trying to do it with a first party.
To do their own.
Yeah.
But my thing is, how much of that giant pie are they getting compared to how much they could get if they did their own? And I think that's the question that they need to answer, but I don't think. To your point, I don't think that they can own enough of the market share for that to be worth more than just partnering and taking a small piece of this giant pie.
It's that thing of games take a long time to make. Of course, every game takes a long time to make. But it's such a smaller gamble to say, make a God of War, and that's not even a great example, make a Detroit Become Human, right? And granted, we had this whole argument on Kind of Funny Games Daily. Technically, that's a first-party game now since it's being published. It's just a third-party developer. I digress. Kind of Funny Games Daily. It would be the thing that if Detroit comes out and that was a bad gamble, all right, no big deal. You're talking about years and years and years of development and alpha and beta testing the fucking systems of, can we make these PlayStation 4s talk to each other the correct way to do this, to do that, to then build on a microtransaction system, to build on a story, to build on a gameplay, to build on matchups and party modes. And then it's like...
And then for years, give new content and keep more it going. Stuff and keep it fresh and keep it relevant. Yeah.
Another, it's not apples to apples at all, but I mean, look at MAG, right? Which was just massive action game.
Like,
hey, we got the players out there, but like, okay, nobody wants to play this game or whatever. And so you walk away from it. Whereas like, if you've launched it as, hey, it's a games as service, it's going to be around for a decade. I don't think they want to take a gamble on a decade.
How long did MAG last?
I mean, the real question is, did MAG ever start? Did it last? Sure. Did it ever really start? Like, it was always like, oh, it's 128 people or whatever? And like, okay.
Yeah.
You're going to level up and take commands from other people? I'm like, that's what I want to be doing.
Yeah, that sounds
I want this 7-year-old barking orders at me.
Final question of the day comes from Faldies. Since by the time the next Gamescast releases, Mario Odyssey will be out, how would you rank the 3D Marios? How experienced are you in 3D Mario?
I haven't had a Nintendo console in so long. So, I mean, Mario 64 is probably...
Okay.
Wow.
Are you familiar enough with the 3D Mario? Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that's how close we are to Odyssey.
Wow.
I'm just refreshing my damn email.
Yeah, I know. We're looking for codes. Here. That's what I was trying to get. By the way, I don't know if you saw, though. I sent out codes for GTA, so we're all set
already?
There. Yeah. God, wow, Rockstar loves Kind of Funny.
That's awesome. I love
how would I rank the 3D Marios?
Now let's put it out there.
Give me one of your papers. I'm gonna write down so I can, because I want to get them all down.
The 3D Marios include 64, Sunshine,
am I skipping one?
The one that you're just skipping that I'm just gonna say for purpose of the conversation, but we're not going to rank because it doesn't matter. Super Mario 64 DS, which did add a lot of content and did change the game a lot, but at the end of the day, it is just like a remastered 64. So we can cut that one. Yeah. Galaxy 2, 3D Land on the 3DS, 3D World.
Oh. Okay. On Wii U.
Mm-hmm. So there you go.
Are Galaxy 1 and 2, are we counting as different games?
They're absolutely different games.
Okay. Okay.
And that's the thing is, like, those are the ones that are hardest for me because they are both of such a high quality that it kind of gets hard for me to rank where they go. But at the end of the day, when I'm ranking all of these next to each other, they're further apart from each other than I thought they were.
Really?
Yeah.
Are we doing it at the time how we felt or how it would count now?
It's an overall. It's I mean, like, yeah, it's like now. Rank them now. Because for me, it's easy at the bottom of the list, and it gets harder as you go up.
Sure.
I mean, Sunshine is the bottom.
6.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Having said that, I fucking love Sunshine. I don't think there's a single game on this list.
It's Delfino Plaza. Look at all these fucking multicolored poops that live on it and walk around and talk to you. Now I'm going to fucking water the cannon, piazzas? And there you go. Play the same fucking land forever. Welcome.
So fun.
Doong Doong's got the island soundtrack. Yeah, yeah. I'm on. Fuck this game. No. Fuck
Sunshine,
it.
Sunshine is awesome. Sunshine gets shat on so hard. And yeah, in comparison to the other games, it's nowhere close. But I still think that there's not a single 3D Mario game that's less than a 9 out of 10.
So can I, this is my list. We agree here. I'm putting a check mark next to that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Now, I'm going to do it out of order because I'm not as, I mean, I'm versed.
Go for it, man. I'm down for the conversation.
At the top, for number one, mm-hmm. I would put Galaxy 1.
For the top of number one, I would put Galaxy 2.
Okay. See, and I honestly, this is by far, I mean, I would tell you this, and I tell everybody this, and I think they know too. I would default to you being the expert here. Like, and not that I'm saying my opinions don't count. Galaxy 1, I remember playing and being like, oh, great. Galaxy 2, I just remember being like, it's more Galaxy. And I don't think that's fair, but that's how I felt, and that's what it was.
Galaxy 2 is all the best parts of Galaxy are expanded on. They cut a lot of the filler. They got rid of the stupid-ass Comet Observatory and just got it straight to a go from level to level, and it's an easy system to understand. There was all the Luigi Green Star stuff was a lot of fun in Galaxy 2. There was a level of challenge in Galaxy 2 that... Galaxy 1 never really hits.
Yeah.
That's why I think 2 is superior to 1.
See, and that's why, honestly, I feel like I got to be fair and put Galaxy 2 at number 2. Because for me, I would have just put the Galaxy 1 and 2 together as one game because I'm a cheap bastard like that. Mm-hmm. And I do, but I can't tell them apart, really.
Yeah.
Which is the big thing. Well, I mean, I can tell them apart, I guess, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
From there, I would say 64, but that's definitely rose-colored glasses of what I remember being a kid and how much I loved it. Like what it was on the N64. If I'm talking about games today,
yep,
I wouldn't.
So my thing is, I would also put, I think 64 is number 2.
Okay.
And I say that because, yeah, does 64 hold up as well as the other ones? No. However, there are things about 64, like the hub specifically, and like the paintings and the way that things work and a lot of the challenges that I'm like, this is unheard of. And like, I don't think that anything's ever hit that level of imagination sense. So I still give it to 64.
Okay.
Number
I said that my number 3 or 64. What's your number 3?
My number 3, Super Mario 3D World.
Damn right, that's my number 4.
Really?
Yeah, I love World, dude.
3D World is so damn good, especially once you get past the 8 worlds and you get into the challenge levels.
See, I never did that. Like my world so experience is that we did a lot of Let's Plays and streams and shit at IGN with it. And I was always like, this is so much fun. This fixes my problem in new Super Mario Bros. I fucking hate playing with other people, and I know that's like that is a breakout game where people I'd go home to Chicago and like they had my cousins had a Wii and they were playing with their kids and like, oh, they're in bubbles and it's so cute. And I was always so frustrated of like running and jumping and then like stopping because like somebody back here, I was like, fuck this, you know what I mean? But World, I thought, did a great job of letting us all play together. The crown in between levels where it's like, oh, I had the most coins or whatever the fuck it was. I was like, that's awesome. And then not to mention how great the levels were. Like, I'll never forget that one where you're playing and you're running and you go down the musical notes and it like makes the song as you go. Mm-hmm. And like, just,
yeah, that's cool. And the levels where every time you jump, it flips the color of it.
Oh, so
it goes from blue
to red. That was awesome.
That debuted in Land, but it was a lot more fun in World because of the multiplayer factor. So when you're playing with other people and they jump, you have to time your things together. That was awesome. But to me, World, even as a single player game, there's something just about the obstacle course based shit of just get to the end that I love. And it was simple for a lot of the game, but once you get to the end game stuff, it was so rewarding. There's so much there. And I think 3D World will always get shat on in a way that is unfair because people treat it like, oh, it's not this open world of Sunshine or 64.
Sure.
And also it was on the Wii U. But that is such a damn great game. And as we go down, so I'd say
now you're five.
Galaxy 2 or Galaxy or four. 1.
Okay. And then.
Which, if I'm being honest, Galaxy and 3D World, I could probably see go either way. But I want to give the shout out to World that it deserves.
Okay. And then you're putting Land at 5.
And I'm going to change that. Land is the last one.
Okay.
Sunshine's better than Land.
Okay.
At the time, Land was so great and I loved it and I would say it was better than Sunshine.
Yeah.
But then when we got World makes Land obsolete.
Okay.
I think.
All right.
There's nothing Land does better than World.
Okay.
So and then, I don't know that both of those need to be higher than Sunshine. So yeah. There we go.
So number 6 for me, Sunshine. Number 6 for Tim, Land. Number 5 for me, Land. Number 5 for Tim, Sunshine. Number 4 for me, World. Number 4 for Tim, Galaxy. The original. Number 3 for me, 64. Number 3 for Tim, World. Number 2 for me, 2. Wait, what?
Galaxy 2?
No, that doesn't make any sense. Oh, yeah. No, that is correct. Sorry, I was getting confused. Number 2 for me is Galaxy 2. Number 2 for Tim is 64. Number 1 for me is Galaxy 1. Number 1 for Tim is Galaxy 2. You already want to change it?
I got to switch World and Galaxy. I can't be that guy. Galaxy and Galaxy 2 are both 10s. World isn't a 10.
All right.
I didn't have a Nintendo for so long. I missed out on all this. The Switch...
Hopefully, virtual
brought me back into
that.
Nintendo.
Yeah.
If they do virtual,
and now you're about to get Odyssey. Man, I wonder where Odyssey's going to fit on my list. It's an exciting time. It's a damn exciting time. Well, Devin, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
This has been a lot of fun.
Yeah. Now, Kevin, what I want you to do is put the fucking Switch into the goddamn holder and give me the fucking Pro controller.
It won't. We can't have it happen here.
Why can't we?
Because. This sounds like a kind of funny world championship type thing.
Well, one of us has to get the world championship.
Yeah, it could be the number one contendership.
No, Andy already said the world championship has to be just... Here's what's happening, champ. Here's what's happening, champ.
Bring your goddamn belt.
What's happening, champ, is that Tim says, I've never beaten him in Mario Kart.
No, you never have.
But it's because he's never played me, because he's a coward. Now, you're pretty good at Mario Kart yourself.
The belt is here.
I'd say I'm the best.
What I would... Then right now, just put it on the line.
Huh?
End this games cast with defending, because I just want to end the games cast kicking Tim's teeth in Mario Kart. But now you're here. You could play. We put the world title on the line, huh?
No. There's a lot of sanctions and stuff like that.
We don't have a commissioner yet. I don't know if we can say that.
We have to tell the promoters, and it's a... I mean, how quickly are people going to, like,
you can't.
Do this?
This is not how you do it, all right? This is a real thing.
Thank you, Kevin.
Stop playing like it's a joke.
Respect the game, Greg.
Yeah. You're the one who wanted to bring in the world title. I just said, be a fucking man and play me. Because this is what he did.
And I said no.
What he did is he said, this it can't just happen, and it sounds like a world title thing. I'm like, neither of us have the world title. I don't know. And he's like, it could be number one contender. And I'm like, you've already decided what number one contender is going to be, unless when we get a commissioner tomorrow, he changes everything.
Number two contender.
You're a coward. You're a cowardly lion.
I'll take 3, 4, 5, or 6. Good, it's a good looking belt.
So glad I'm the champ.
Ladies and gentlemen, until next time, I love you. Well, that was a fun episode. You can click here to subscribe to Kinda Funny Games. You can click there to subscribe to Kinda Funny. You can click here to support us on Patreon. You get party modes early. That makes it worth the dollar for sure.